子，我们尽量想办法翻译。我们在当中有很多人一定可以做很好的翻译的啊，没有问题，好吧？
我只有一个问题，小孩的
。不是小小，因为他们的孩子是现在是从要进入二年级到九年级啊，所以也许他们可以说他们甚至到十二年级他们的看法是怎么样都可以。他们是住在加州啊，帕尔奥托啊，帕尔奥托你大概知道吧？对，就是斯坦福大学那个地方啊，所以跟我们这个地方的很像啊，环境是很像。家长也很注重学业，因为那个地方的房价也特别高啊，所以他们就是我们确实很担心，因为他们实在没有钱可以买那边的房子啊，他们卖了这边的房子去那边的付账片们都付不起啊，都不够了啊，所以我们一般的房子贷款是贷款一家，他们是贷款两家的啊，银行贷款他们，学校贷款给他们，不然他们没有办法买房子啊。所以我们的环境是跟我们这边很像，他们有遇到的问题也许可以给我们一些参考。还有有你们想问什么，你们想问的有没有，你们想知道的啊？没有吗？ OK， 好吧，那就请你先开始吧。
OK, good afternoon, my name is Yang, Wu Xiyang, and it's my wife Ruth, andOur parents asked us to talk a little bit about technology and scheduling and how that affects how we deal with our children. And I think my dad explained a little bit, but our children are ages 14, 11, and 6, so they're going into 9th grade, 6th grade, and 2nd grade as of September. Ruth is a full-time mom of the three kids, and the parents that live around us, they work with and they love technology, as you can tell. So everybody who works there either works for Apple, Google, Yahoo, or Facebook, or they work for Stanford like I do. And they all want their kids to go to Stanford for college, too. So there's a lot of stress on the kids while they're in school. So you can imagine that it's not so easy to raise Christian children in that type of environment. So again, two topics. The first one is technology, and we'll talk about that one first. We have the benefit of a very small house, and with a small house, you can't put very much into it. Okay, so we have two TVs in our house. We have one in our living room and a very small one in our bedroom. We have no cable TV. And we get about three channels on our TV over the air. So that's what we have. In terms of computers, we have one desktop computer that sits in our main living room, and our son has one laptop that he uses for his homework, but there's no wireless and there's no internet on that computer. Okay. And then finally, in terms of phones, both Ruth and I have smartphones. But our son has one cell phone that he uses. He has no texting and no internet on the cell phone either. And our three kids share one iPod for their, you know, music and their video,
which they had to earn. They helped pay for that too. Yeah.
So as you can see, for where we live, our family actually owns very little technology for each person, and we'll try to explain why we decided to do that. And I think the principle, yes. That's right. Yeah, so he does his homework on our computer in the living room. Yeah. So that's how he does that. Yes, and we get the same thing. A lot of the assignments and the grades and everything are done over the internet. So we do need that connection, but he gets to work on that when he gets home from school. And I think the principle we wanted to hold to in terms of technology is that we wanted to maintain control over what our children see and hear. I think of it as the same thing as we help our children pick out their friends, and it's just as important to help our children choose well what they're looking at, what they're listening to. The problem is if you give a child a TV or a computer or a phone with unlimited internet access, you're basically saying you can go look at anything you want. And children, when they're little, still make bad choices about what they look at or what they read or what they listen to. And, you know, when children ask you for these things, If you really look down at why they're asking you for it, it's mainly, I would think, mainly for entertainment purposes, that they want a computer or they want an iPod. It's not to help them do their homework or anything like that. Because the amount of time they actually need the computer to do their homework is very little. The rest of the time, they're just looking at things. So that's what we have. We don't have any cable either for a couple reasons. Number one, it's another expense on top of paying for the cell phone and the computer and the internet. Number two, having all that, all those, it's a temptation because having all those TV channels open for you to watch allows the kids to just sit there and vegetate instead of doing work. And number three, it's just too easy to use that as a babysitter rather than engaging with the children. Now, we do have a lot of DVDs, okay, and we do watch TV shows over the internet. But by doing that, we have chosen those shows and things for the children to watch, and we don't let them just watch whatever they want. And so the reason, getting back to the question about why we have one TV and one computer, besides having a small house, but the fact that we have them in the living room area where we can watch over them, that allows us to see what our children are looking at and what they're watching. They're not doing this in their own bedroom, and they're not off doing something that we won't approve of. Now, certainly we hope that by the time our children get to college, that they will be ready at that point to make good choices about how to spend their time, how to use a computer safely. But they're really not ready yet. Our son is going into senior high, and when I watch him doing homework, I'll watch him, you know, he'll look up something, then he'll look at the sports, then he'll do a little bit of homework, and then go back to the sports on the internet. So I have to keep reminding him, hey, get off of that, do your homework. Okay, that's not why you're on the computer. And I sort of think of it, you know, if you think about it, what's interesting, if you look at the rate of car crashes in children when they're 16 and they first get their driver's permit, it's much higher than if you start a child at age 18. So there's a lot of maturation that happens right before the kids are ready to go off to college. So I think it's a mistake to try to give kids too much technology too early. Now, what about cell phones? I think the latest number I saw is that half of teenagers have cell phones at this point. Our son does have a cell phone, but the reason we got it for him is really for safety. He rides his bicycle to school. It's about a 1 mile. He rides piano lessons. He rides to tennis and swimming by himself. And so a lot of times if the teacher is late or if there's a change in the schedule, we want to make sure that he can tell us where he is or that we have to come and get him. What he has is a very basic cell phone. I mean, he can call us. We share the minutes between the whole family. And again, there's no texting or internet on this phone. And we think, you know, compared to 2 years ago when we were living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we probably wouldn't have gotten him a cell phone if we were still living there. And the reason is that Ruth would have been driving him to all of these events, to piano and violin, or to sports activities, and we would know where he would be. So there would never have been this situation where we were unsure. Ruth, you want to tell the story? That's sort of
why we end up getting him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in Pittsburgh, when we drove him every place, you know, that was the only way he could get somewhere. So I would know where he was at all times. And if he really needed to get a hold of me, he probably could ask for a friend for a cell phone or the office or wherever he was. But in Palo Alto, everyone rides their bike everywhere. It's a very bike-friendly place. And so one time, he was supposed to ride his bike to school, and it was very early on when we first moved there. He really only knew one way to get to school, and there was a car accident. So he didn't know where to go, and he didn't want to go off the path because he didn't know the area. So he ended up riding his bike all the way back to our house, and I ended up driving him to school. But, you know, in that situation, it could have been nice if he had a phone. The second time, so we didn't get him a phone still at that point. The second time, he was supposed to show up at his violin teacher's house, and she was a little late, and she wasn't there when he arrived. And then she called me and said, where's Curtis? And I said, well, he's supposed to be at your house for lessons. And she said, he's not here. And I'm like, where is he? Because, you know, where would he go? So I was in a little bit of a panic because I didn't know where my son was, and I didn't know if he was okay, and I didn't know why he didn't show up at the violin teacher's house. But he ended up riding his bike back to school, which was close to the violin teacher's house, and called me and said, the violin teacher's not there. And I said, and after that incident, because you want to know where your kids are, you want to be able to connect with them. And I kind of insisted at that point, he needs to have a phone for safety reasons. He needs to be able to, if he's in trouble or he needs to convey to us where a change of plans, he needs to be able to do that. So we gave him a basic phone. We don't think that he needs all that access to the internet and texting his friends and things, because at this age, I think it's really important that they talk to each other. I think it's important that they're calling our house and we know who he's talking to. Or even if he's calling their phone, you can look through the logs. You know, I think even after you give them the phone, as active parents, you have to be in charge of knowing what's going on. Because when you open up that whole world, the computers, the TV, and things, TV's hard to check. It's hard to see what they're watching. If you have cable and you have a TV in their room or something, it's hard to check what they're watching. But the computer's a little bit more giving in information. You can check the logs. You can check the history. You can limit, you know, living in Silicon Valley, I've learned a lot. You can limit how far the internet access is in your house. If you've got a big house, like in New Jersey, your houses are probably four times as big as our house. But in your house, you can limit the parameters of your internet service. And therefore, the kids either have to come closer to where you are or to the center of the house, and they can use the internet. They can't be hiding in their rooms using the internet. Cable, I don't know if that's necessarily true, but... So those are just the reasons why we got that phone. My middle school daughter, and you have different children. Like my son, he barely uses his phone. We lose money on his plan. So, but my middle one coming up, he's going to be going to middle school. She's just egging to get that phone, and she knows in September she'll get a phone to use, but she also knows that it's a very basic phone, and that if her friends want to talk to her, they need to call and use words and talk to her. It's not going to be texting. It's not, you know, so... Yeah, that's what we just, I think it's good to have some control over the information.
We've told her, I mean, you're not allowed to have your phone on during school anyway. Right. You're not supposed to be texting when you're in class. If the teachers find out that they are doing that, they confiscate the phone.
So really,
we told her, you're not getting a texting plan because you're not supposed to be using it when you think you're going to be using it during the school day. So before we move on to talking about scheduling or spending time with kids, I wanted to talk a little bit about how the technology actually affects how we spend time with children. And there's been, I don't know if you've been looking at the New York Times this past week, but there have been, I think, two or three very interesting articles about what technology does to parenting. Okay, and what they've really concluded is that having this continuous access on your smartphone actually makes us worse parents, okay? We're physically there, but mentally, we're not there at all. So what they found was, number one, when you have this type of access and you're trying to deal with your kids, you actually speak fewer words each week to your child, which means you're actually spending less time talking to them, okay? And the other thing that was very interesting for me to read was that kids actually feel upset when their parents are on their devices, you know, texting or checking email during meals, at activities, or at sports time. So, while I think it's very, for us as adults, it's obviously more interesting to be doing that than talking to our child because it's more of an adult type of activity. But I think we should still make the effort to engage our children and make that time meaningful. You know, when you have time with them at meals or if you're, you know, watching a sports event with them, I think they want to know that you're really there for them. You're not there just sort of, you know, hanging out and trying to do work at the same time. Okay.
I also think in light of the article that Young had shared with me, there's an etiquette to using the cell phones. And if you have older kids, you know, you need to start insisting on those habits early. Because if they get in the habit, and I told Young, I'm frustrated. Even with the parents at school, we might be hanging around. Everyone's on their iPhone, and you can't strike up a conversation with them. you can't, and as a new parent coming into the school, you know, I want to meet parents, I want to talk to them, but it's very, I mean, as soon as you see that iPhone and they're clicking through, you basically have set up a wall, okay? So you know that, as I know as an adult, I feel that with another adult, I don't want my child to get in the habit of saying, well, they can whip it out anytime they want, and you know, I said, there's people at the table or there's people in the room or in your house, you shouldn't be using it, you know? And if you're going to use it, if we're waiting in line or something, you know, he sometimes whips his out. But it's very limited. Like, he does, he checks and stuff, and then he puts it away. So I think it's important to be able to control ourselves. And by if you display or you do through that actions, when they see you do it, they'll do it in return, you know. But you really, I've talked to a lot of parents, they have rules, there's none at the dinner table, or they have to have it displayed as being off, you know, before they come in the household, because even in the house, they might be texting each other from their rooms, you know. And I don't know, some parents think it's okay, but I think, you know, if you're in the same house, you got to have conversations. And there's another article I read that teens are now, half the time they're texting each other. They're not even doing verbal communication. And then they're going to grow up not being able to talk to one another. And I think it's really important for us as parents to encourage them, call on the phone. I mean, yeah, your friend may not answer it. They say, my friends won't answer it. And you say, well, you need to communicate with them. The one way I'm going to talk to you is call you on the phone, or my mom needs to know that it's okay to come over to your house, whatever guidelines you set up, be really firm on them.
I think about the texting, the other thing that's important is if your child has an important message to get to you, make sure they call you, okay, because you know that sometimes those texts don't go through, okay, and they'll say, oh, but I texted you, I told you I was going to be here, and you say, look, it's not here. Okay, so important events deserve a call, okay? Not a text,
right.
Not an email.
As a friend said, yeah. A text does not mean permission, too. Like, if you say, I'm going to stay until, you know, midnight, I text you, I'm going to stay because the movie doesn't get out till 11:30. I won't be home till midnight. That doesn't give them permission. Like, unless you call and you say, okay, I understand the movie's not out till 11:30, you won't be home till midnight, then that means they've gotten permission. But unless they get hear back from you, and that's a really good rule, I think, then it doesn't give them permission. They need to be home by their curfew or whatever you said they had to be home, because that means they could make it anything. They could say, well, I texted you. And you say, well, I didn't reply, so that means I didn't get it. So somehow set up a system in your house that allows you to say these are the rules and then be really firm on them.
Any questions about sort of technology use before we head on to a different, completely different?
She had a lot of work because my daughter always has. She had a computer in her room. She has a handphone. Yeah, she does everything. You say nothing. But so what can I do?
It's very hard. Yeah, it's very hard. It's very hard once you've started.
But what?
Yeah.
It goes back to what was the reason why she got it. Okay, she needed for schoolwork. Okay, is it all just for schoolwork? You can put a limit on it, you know, time limit. Either that means you get the computer from her, literally disconnect it, and you say, okay, you know, this is off time. You know, you have to set. At 15, that's still pretty young, but I know it's hard to say that. It's hard to do that now, but.
No.
So you say, how long do you think it's going to take you to do your homework? If she's claiming she's doing homework, how long is it going to take you to do your homework? 4 hours. Okay, 7 to 11, you have your computer. Then you take it out. If she truly needs that 4 hours to do the homework, she can get it done. If she knows she has a deadline at 11 o'clock, I don't get that computer, I need to get this homework done, okay. If she's not done her homework, have her do it in the living room where you can see her doing it. Because if during that 4 hours, if she's going to spend 2.5 hours surfing it, looking at video, you know, YouTube things and stuff. She's not doing her homework, so she can't get it done. She can communicate anywhere in the house. She can communicate in that. If you have wireless, she can communicate.
There's very few assignments where they really need that kind of cooperation.
Yeah.
They can get together and they can work for 4 hours if they really need that kind of cooperation. You don't really IM and work on a project that way.
Mom, you need to spy. You really do. You need to be the spy. You need to be looking over the shoulder and seeing, what does Mary have to do with this homework assignment? You know what I mean? She's only 15, okay? She's only 15, and you have to remember that. And you're in an affluent neighborhood. We are in an affluent neighborhood, okay? They will get everything they ask for. But we as parents cannot give them everything they ask for, okay? We have to set limits. And why? I think it goes back to protecting them, okay? There's things they should know at 15, and there's a lot of things they shouldn't know at 15, which the Internet opens up the entire world to. Do I desire for them to know half the things? No. If they want to watch a show, we don't have cable. If they want to watch a show, I preview it on the computer first. If I like it, okay, they might get to watch it. If I don't like it, they know they don't get to watch it. So it's very, and it's hard. You've opened up a door. You've opened up a wide door. It's going to be hard to pull back, but you can work with your daughter. But as I say, you're the parent, okay? And as I tell my kids, God entrusted you to me. He gave you to me. He made me your parent. So you need to take it up with him, you know, because we're doing the best that we can do. And we want to, you know, teach them that the world is a big place and they need to be able to navigate it well. And God's entrusted that to us, to navigate it. Yeah, it's hard. But if you can, now it's the summertime. She shouldn't be up to 2 o'clock in the morning. Right?
So right now you can
start instituting that 11 o'clock computer time, or 7 to 9 is your computer time. You can do whatever you want to do, and then boom, off. Because it's family time. I mean, even 7 to 9 is family time. If you want to let her stay up to 9 to 10 doing computer time, or, you know, 1 to 3 or something, but you need to institute the time as a family and protect that, because they're not going to be with you much longer. I mean, I look at my son, he's 14, and I'm even sad now that 4 years from now he's going off to college, you know. So whatever you can do to protect that time, start now. So
you have a high schooler and a middle schooler
next year. I will.
Oh, okay. Are they both sharing the computer when they do the homework? I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to, like, give them, each of them have that laptop to do the homework, or do they have to share a computer?
Right. Well, the laptop, again, I mean, he can type all he wants. He can make his graphs and everything. The only thing that doesn't have is Internet access. So if he wants to work on that, that's his to do.
And he can put it on a stick. So he can put on his work on the memory stick, and he can put it on the faster computer. So that computer is
10 years old.
Okay, so that computer that he has is 10 years old. So, but it still works in writing papers. It still has the word, you know.
So I'm saying is that your middle schooler, he doesn't need the computer to do the homework anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have 3 kids. Now I'm thinking, now I have a middle schooler coming up. He's going to need the computer to do the homework. Am I supposed to buy a new one, or do I have to share?
We haven't entered that territory yet. We're not planning on buying a new computer. We're planning on them being able to work out their time of when they're going to be on the computer. And obviously, she's still in middle school, and we have bedtime curfews. Of course, his bedtime curfew is going to be later than hers, so he will have time where he can get on the computer when she's not on the computer. And no, we don't have plans to. But to be honest with you, we don't have this will be our first year coming into having a high schooler and a middle schooler. And so we would have to see how things go. But they also get computer time at school. They have periods, I know in middle school, they have periods where they can go to the computer lab, and the computer lab has, you know, they're limited to what they can see on the internet from school, so you don't have to worry as much. So they really need computer time. They have time, they have access to it. So I would ask, too. I mean, I'm at our middle school enough to know that they have computer time, but if you work and you don't know what they allow or what they have time with, I would ask and see how much time, you know, they have in their schedule that they can use the computer.
How about the computer game?
Well, we could talk a little bit about that in terms of sort of scheduling, okay? But I have yet to find a computer game which is really, truly educational. I mean, they are entertaining, but they're not really educational in any real sense. And so I would sort of put that into, that's fun, okay? If you want to play that, that's fun time. But you get your homework done, get your chores done, and if you have time, you can play that. But
and there's always a limit. There's always a time limit, you know, like anything else. You put the timer on 30 minutes. You get 30 minutes time on the computer. You can use it any way you want, but, you know, you get 30 minutes. If you have younger kids, and they know, they might think I don't know, but I do know when they get on and when they get, you know, and I'll say it's been, okay, so my kids get an hour, but they're not on the computer every day. So when they do get on, I do let them, but the hour is the limit. And I'll say, you've been on for an hour, it's time to get off. And they'll get off. So, yeah. We're fortunate we don't have kids who are computer hungry games.
Yeah.
They do not thrive on that. So I will say that we're fortunate in that respect that we haven't really had to deal with that.
Yes. There are many parental control software that allow you to set a rule of the internet. Do you think that's a solution?
I think it's a partial solution, but I think if the kids are smart enough, they can find a way around it. I mean, that's why we prefer to have it, you know, have the computer in, you know, in the central area where we can see what they're doing. Because I think there's always ways to get around the walls that they put up.
Kids are really good.
Yeah.
They are really good.
Much smarter than
they're
we
really
are.
Smart.
Yeah.
My friend, she take away that clock. Internet
yeah.
Session.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hide somewhere.
Yeah. And then when the mom is not in, like, when it's dark,
it's
like all the
kids, like,
work
like
this.
So,
uh-huh.
You put in
the
center area, you're doing something else.
Uh-huh.
So, it works like
this,
concentrate,
do
the whole
home. Well, the area where our computer is on a desk, and the others cannot work at that desk when they're doing their homework. They have to work on the kitchen table or on the desk in their room. So they can't really be there at the same time.
Yeah, so it's only one person.
Yeah, so only one person can be there.
Well, that's a good lead in terms of scheduling, too, because that was the second topic we're going to talk about. And just to confess, I mean, I think this is a huge challenge for parents because there's such a temptation to over-schedule your children to get them into every single activity. And I wonder sort of how this happened because this is certainly different than when I was growing up. And I think it started because the parents realized if you want your kid to go to college, you have to have a lot of activities on their application form. Now, what parents don't realize is that look at the sample application. Asian high school students interested in science, technology, engineering, medicine, plays the violin, participates in computer club. Do you know how many applications that look like that the admissions office gets? Probably about 10,000. Okay. Every one of them looks exactly the same. You don't distinguish your child by making them do this. And that's the problem. So my thought is, before you sign your child up for an activity, think about what is the reason I'm signing my child up for this activity. If the only answer is, well, everybody else, all the other parents are doing this, that's not a good reason to do that. Maybe a little bit better is, well, I never got to do this when I was younger, and I really want my child to experience this. That's a little bit better. Probably the best reason is that my child is really interested in this, and then this is something I think they'll enjoy when they get older, and that will make them a better rounded person. But our kids still do a lot. As you hear, we try not to sign them up for too much. But all of them have a church program they go to on Wednesday night called Awanas. Our middle schooler, now high schooler, goes to Young Life on Thursday night, so that's two nights. They have violin, piano lessons, one afternoon each week. And they practice with their orchestra one night each week during the school year. And then during the school year, they also have either tennis or swimming one or two days in the afternoon. So that's a lot of activity still. But when they get home after the activity, again, the first priority, do your homework. Second is do your chores. And if you have any time left, then you can go on the TV or go on the computer and play your games. And I think Ruth would agree, during the week, it's very unusual for them to be able to finish their homework, do their chores, and have much time left over to watch TV. And that's intentional. We don't want them to be watching TV or playing computer games during the week. They do more on the weekends when they have more free time. So let me explain why we decided they should participate in each of these. For the church program, we felt that it was very important for them to have Christian friends as they're growing up. And just spending an hour or two with some people at church on Sundays is often not enough time for them to really develop good, strong relationships with them. So we feel it's important for them to meet other Christian kids as they're growing up. For the music lessons, both of us played, violin and piano growing up like all their Asian kids. And we thought it was important for them to actually enjoy and understand how music is made. We didn't want them to just download music and listen to it. And so none of them is ever going to play well enough to go to Juilliard. They're never going to get a music scholarship. Okay, so this is purely for enjoyment. They're doing this, and we hope that maybe if they ever want to play in church, they might be able to do that. We have allowed both of the older kids to take both piano and violin, but now one is more interested in violin and one is more interested in piano. So they're going to be sort of picking whatever instrument they want to focus on. And then finally, why do we let the kids participate in sports? Well, we don't want them to get fat and slow, okay? And because we live in Northern California, it's very different than here in North Jersey because the weather is nice all year. So you can swim outdoors, you can play tennis all year round. But we don't sign up our kids for team sports where they have a lot of travel and have a lot of costs. Like things like baseball and soccer or year-round swim team is a lot of time, a lot of things that happen on Sunday. You have to take the kids there and back, and we just felt that that wasn't worth that type of time and investment for our children. We want them to be healthy, but we know they're not going to be pro athletes either. And it's really, we want to make sure that they enjoy their time with the sports. It's really hard to get the kids everywhere when you have three because oftentimes there's two things going on at the same time. So sometimes Ruth is taking one kid here. I'm taking the other child somewhere else. And then I think there was one point maybe last year where I wasn't able to see the kids for about two or three nights a week. I just didn't have dinner with them. So I asked Ruth just to cut out one of those activities so we could eat together as a family more often each week. And I think that's important too. Right now there's only one night I think each week where the kids are already at an activity. That's Wednesday night by the time I get home. And usually the other nights there may be one child doing something else, but then at least there I'm getting home in time to have dinner with the rest of the children and spend time with them. So I think that's an important thing to be able to do. Anything else to add? Let's schedule.
So I think we're really overscheduled. I mean, when I say overscheduled, we're busy during the school year. I mean, we're really running a lot. And like Young said, the one thing we do try to preserve is dinner together. And whether it's all five of us or at least four of us at a time, we do try to preserve dinner time. And he also has a limit. If he's not home at 7 o'clock, I feed the kids, And we understand that, with his profession that he may not get home at the, at dinner time, but, regardless, we try to protect that time. Well, I also, another reason, I don't particularly put our kids into team sports. One is I know that they enjoy the sport, but they don't always enjoy the intensity of the competition. And I'm also very selfish with time as a family. So the weekends is really protected so that Young has time to spend with his kids, because during the week, we're all either too busy and he doesn't have any time with them. And so Saturdays and Sundays, really we don't have any sports going on, because I think it's important that they spend time, we spend time as a whole family. So some people might say, well, you know, that's not quite fair. They're very good. If I felt like my child was really excellent at something and could rank, you know, statewide, it might have been a different story. But, you know, I know that they play well, the sports they've chosen. I know they enjoy it, and they're just getting the physical activity. It's all good. So that's another reason. But the other thing, when summertime comes, I need a break from running everyone around, you know. So I try not to schedule too many things. We take a break from school in a sense, but I encourage the reading. We go to the library once a week, wherever there's a, whatever bookstores having a reading program, we sign up for it. The library has a reading program. So they do a lot of reading, and they all love to read. We do have a computer program that we sign up for math that the kids can do, but they don't do it every single day. That's also something new for my middle schooler that we're going to be trying with her, because there is a need to keep up their skills, okay? But the kids also need time to relax and to have a break. So the only two things we ever sign up for summertime is tennis, which is only 2 hours, and then swim team, they do 2 hours, an hour of practice, and then the swim meet. But the rest of the time is really down time. So I'm fortunate enough to not work, so I can take the kids up to the city. I can take the kids to go to a museum. We can go to the beach. We can go do something that they can't do during the school year. And I think it's really, really valuable for them to have that time and that break. I'd like them to do, you know, when they were younger, I had workbooks and things for them to do, so I won't kid you on that. You know, I did try to do that. But in terms of signing them up for classes and things, I think we feel like they really need a break. And they do well in school, you know. If they were struggling in any area, perhaps, you know, we might think about doing a class. But given that our kids do well in school and they seem to work hard and whatnot, I think summertime is a welcomed break. And, you know, so that's our scheduling. That's how we kind of have looked at it and felt like it's worked well for us. And so we'll see. I will say my son did come back last summer, right? Last summer he wanted to do the Algebra 2, right? He said he wanted to do Algebra 2. Okay. So he has some friends, and we come from an area where Stanford is, and a lot of Stanford professors, everyone is highly educated, and everyone wants their children to strive and to be ahead of everyone else. And he came home, and he was robust, and he's like, I want to take Algebra 2 this summer. And I looked at him, I said, really? And he said, yeah, because if I do that, then I can do zero period next year, and then I can go to the high school. I'm like, really? Okay, let's look at this. Okay, if you decide to do this, that means that's your entire summer. For the next 2 months, you go to school every single day, all day. Okay, that means no tennis, no swimming, nothing. Okay? Oh. I said, are you ready for that? We are more than willing to pay for you. If you really want to do that, I will pull your application at that point. I had already sent in the swim team tennis payment. Which probably was just as much as sending him to school, okay? So, you know, and I said to him, you know, you do well in school, and you do well in math, and yes, it comes pretty easy to you. I said, it's okay to have a class that comes easy to you, and you don't have to struggle next year. Yes, I agree. That's fine. If you really are, you know, if your heart's set on it, then I will look into programs for you. he thought about it, and then I said, you know, it's okay not to have to struggle next year in a harder class just because you want to be a grade level up. And he thought about it, and he said, okay, I guess I won't do it. And we didn't do it. And I think he was happy that he didn't do it. He was fine. He did fine in his math. Is it okay that he stayed in his grade level? In my opinion, absolutely. You know, in other people's opinion, maybe not. He could have been, you know, advanced. But I think kids are kids for so long, and there's so much pressure. And there's a lot of pressure in Palo Alto. A lot of pressure on kids in Palo Alto. And I don't know if it's the same here. But kids need to decompress. They need to be able to have an easy course if they have one in school that they don't have to be pressured to work on. It's not that he sails through it without work. He does. I mean, he brings problems to Young and says, I can't figure this out. And Young helps him, and then he gets it. So it's not like it's absolutely easy. But he doesn't struggle, okay? And the worst thing, I think, is to put a child in a level that might be, even though the teacher feels they're challenged and they can do it, they can be challenged, but they don't have to be overly stressed. And when they get to high school, they're going to take their AP classes. They're going to, you know, they're already at a level above others. And if your school district is anything like our school district, they're already above the national norm. So they don't need to be extra above. Does that make sense?
Well, I think what Ruth is, you know, again getting to is that, you know, we know our children, we know what their skills are, we know what their talents are, and so we're not going to push them to excel in an area where it's pretty clear to us that they're not like naturally very, you know, very gifted in it, like, you know, whatever course you're taking, whatever sports, whatever music thing you're doing. If you're, you know, a great genius in it, yes, you know, well, great. I mean, we'll help you get there. But if you're an average kid doing average stuff, that's fine. You know, we know what your potential is going to be. It's not going to get you, you know, any higher ranking when you apply to college. So, you know, I don't see the point in stressing them out over that.
Yeah. How do we get our kids friends?
How do we know their friends?
How do we know their friends? Okay. That's a little tougher because we've moved recently there, and it's much harder to get to know your middle school friends. My son's middle school friends, because they don't do play dates with parents anymore, right? When they're younger, it's so much easier, right? Let's get together. Let's get the kids together to play. And the parents usually come along. At least one parent comes along. You get to know them. So if you start in kindergarten through, usually the friends that you hang out with, the parents hang out with, their kids' school friends are kids that they know in elementary school. So how do I get to know my son's friends? I try to be at school. I volunteer a lot. Young will tell you my job at the schools is almost like a full-time job because I'm there all the time and I have
all
an
the
elementary.
PTA committees. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm pretty much at school, so then I see him on campus. I can spy, okay? It's okay to spy, I think, to see what activities he's involved in. I ask him, talk as much as you can. Ask as many questions as you can. So who's in the chess club with you? Oh, where do they live? You know, you have to ask. He's not one to bring friends home. But he's also the kind of kid who doesn't need a lot of friends. He just needs a few good friends, okay? So the friends that he mentions and talks about, eventually I find out who the parents are at different functions at school. So the other part is to be very active in their school functions. When they have a concert, go to the concert, okay? You spy, again, if I see a kid that he talked to and I see the kids talking with his parents, I will go up and I will introduce myself and say, oh, Curtis and Tommy, like, enjoy chess together, you know. So then I get to know a face and get to, first impressions are very revealing, you know, to you. So the parents are welcoming or kind and things. So if you have older kids, which I do, and we moved, it's been a bit harder for me this year. The last 2 years to get to know his friends. So the other thing is the Young Life, that the Christian group that he attends. It was really important for me to find a middle school group where he could identify kids who are either in a Christian home or interested in Christianity, because Young Life is an outreach group, so not everyone that goes there is from a Christian home. But then it gave him faces at school to say, oh, I know you from Young Life. And then it gave him a point of reference to develop friendships. Okay, so that's really important.
Girls too.
Well, in elementary school, so we moved 2 years ago, and in fourth grade, girls can be very hard on each other. And so my daughter had a very difficult fourth grade year in terms of girl cliques and girls being very, what's the word? Yeah, well, they would not, they were mean, but they wouldn't include her, or they would pretend to be their friends and then not be their friends. So you really need to be very active in your children's lives. I mean, just ask questions. And I recognized that she was, I knew that Jessica, things were going on, and it just kind of carried over to the way that she was treating her sister. And it wasn't very nice. So you kind of had to go to the root and see how she was being treated at school. She was just kind of bringing it home and treating her sister. And so we kind of, we worked that out. But if you have girls, you really have to keep the communication open and be aware of who their friends are. And a really good book is Queen Bee Wannabe, for those who have preteens or tweens or girls. It's a really good book about girls' hierarchies and relationships and how to deal with them. So did that answer your question? I don't know. That's a big question. And where my first grader, I know all the parents, almost all the parents. I would say I know 80% of the parents in her first grade class, the whole grade, because when they still have parties, the parents still go, right? You still get to meet them, and you still get to know who they are, so you feel very comfortable when they call for a play date, or if they want to do something, you feel very comfortable. And in a drop of a hat, anyone in Pittsburgh, I could do that with my older two. I knew the parents very well in that situation, too. So as they get older, it is harder to get to know their friends. But guidelines, setting guidelines with your older ones is really important, that they have to know. They have to check in with you, and whatever way you can get to know who the child's family or background situation is really important. I don't know. That's uncharted territories with us. So we'll see when he goes off to high school and he meets all these other people, and you know, we'll see how we handle that. I don't know. I hope we. And then you have the guidance of your, if you have friends who have older kids, you ask them how they handled it and dealt with it, but yeah.
Have your kids talking about the kids still missing their old school and they don't like this current new school? How do you handle that? How do you talk to you this question? And what do you think, especially girls, when like what you just said, some girls maybe they play well, but not really be as a friend.
Well, so her fifth grade year, she had a better year. It took a little bit intervention on my part with the teachers and me making sure that the girls that she was having issues were not in her class. And then so sometimes you do have to step in and be a proactive person for your child. So this year she had a great year. She had friends who cared for her, and also they weren't demanding things on their friendship in order to be a friend. She, if you ask my middle one, dearly missed Pittsburgh a great deal. And but I think if you ask her now, she's okay. But it was a really big transition. And how do you say, well, you know, there are things that are really great in Pittsburgh, but there are really great things there in California, and this is where we are now, and this is, you know, we can always go back and visit. It's hard because they'll say, oh, it was much better. The school was much better back then. And part of it is me, I think, because I do a lot of talking and I'll express a lot of things because I'm just a talker. And so they hear that. And so sometimes I have to catch myself and, you know, say, and then point out the really good things about California and where we are and the benefits they have at the school here. And especially for my middle one, that was a really important thing, just to focus on the really good things of, you know, where we are. And that kind of helps too. So, yeah.
Okay. Comments or questions? How about Chinese? Do you encourage that?
Well, Ruth wanted to send the kids to Chinese school. I said, we don't speak Mandarin or Taiwanese at home. How is this going to work? Okay. If you go to Chinese school for 2 hours a week or 2 hours a day and you don't speak it at home, where's the reinforcement? That's why kids, you know, we have a Spanish immersion school at the elementary school, because the kids go there, they learn everything in Spanish. And I said, well, unless we can actually reinforce the Chinese that they're learning, I'll let them go take the classes if they're interested later on. But when they talk to their friends who go to Chinese school, they're like, no, I don't want to go to Chinese school. Because there are a lot of parents who do speak Mandarin and they send their kids to Chinese school in Palo Alto. But I think, you know, if you have a family where it's going to be reinforced and you can use it, then definitely it's worthwhile. But in our situation, you know, where we speak English at home, it's really not a situation where it's going to be learnable. It just doesn't work. Yeah.
It's called Queen Bee Wannabe. Bee Wannabe. Okay, so I think if we're all women here and we've all been in circles of friends, you can identify who the queen bee is, and you can also identify who the wannabe is, who wants to be the queen bee. Okay, so it's a really, really good book for if you have tweens or preteens, yeah. And if your daughter is experienced, and it's something that they can read too, you know, if they're experiencing pressures from their friends or things, I think that it's good to be aware, because it really took us by storm, because we hadn't experienced any of that when we were in Pittsburgh, and then we came out here, and it was just, it was just really tough.
And whereas, you know, when we moved, we really were worried about our middle schooler, because we thought he would be older, he would have more of adjustment. And he didn't make many friends the first year, but it really didn't bother him. And I think for boys, it's much less of an issue. I think for the girls, when you take them out of the situation, it's a huge issue.
Yeah.
And boys are like, yeah, I'm going to school, you know.
True.
No, he talks about it every so often. I think he realizes that Dad, as a doctor, has a very unpredictable schedule and he misses a lot of things. And I think he has to decide whether he wants that for his family. He sees that it's important for us to make it to church and do things together. I mean, he says things like, oh, maybe I'll be an architect, and we tell him, actually, it's very hard to make a living as an architect. We try to be realistic with him, and if he's saying things, you know, I will say, well, okay, if you want to do that, then you have to do this teaching, this, and this is what you'll get at the very end. So I am not pushing him to go into medicine. I don't know how much he's going to get paid. Say, if he does go into medicine 30 years from now, I'm not sure how much he's going to get paid, if it's even worthwhile at that point. So I think I am trying to find out what his skills are, what his interests are, and what he is just naturally gifted in. And I think I'm going to push him in that direction and try to reinforce that rather than say, you have to take this particular career. I think our little one is very artistic. Our middle one will probably go into business because she loves money, and she loves saving it and doing things with it. But I think that's what we're trying to do with our kids. Rather than force them into a mold, just encouraging them where they're naturally gifted. What is she asking to do? Can I ask her? What else does she want to do?
She can't miss anything, so she has to be in this club, that club. She has to be in fourth club. Yeah, has to go to jazz and all kinds. Every night has to go out somehow. So every activity, especially actually only there's part on me because I'm the working parent and also my husband in China, so it makes more sense.
So it's busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of trying to ask her to relax. You know, you don't need everything. As I tell her, you know, you don't need everything to put on your resume to go to school. She just, no, that's what everyone does. You crazy, you Chinese, why don't you ask me to do more? yeah, she's all the Chinese parents ask them to do more and more. So, are you Chinese?
Well, I think in that situation, sometimes it's, you know, it's funny how kids will not listen to their parents, but they will listen to another adult, you know? And in that situation, it might be worth getting, like, another adult who's had, you know, had a child go through this and say, look, you know, they went to college, they're doing fine now, and, you know, they didn't have to do all these crazy things and have a, you know, really overscheduled life. It's almost like you have to prove to them that what their friends and their parents' friends are telling them is not necessarily true. But then you sort of have to find somebody, you know, with that experience to convince her. Because it's hard. I was assigned 8 Stanford freshmen this year, pre-med freshmen. And it was really interesting to see how they changed over the course of this year. I knew that, you know, a good proportion of them would not go into medicine, okay, after they took organic chemistry, because that always happens. It happens in every college, okay. But the freshmen themselves didn't know that, and they wouldn't believe me when I told them that I guarantee some of you are not going to go into medicine. So you sort of need that viewpoint at the end of it. It's like a more experienced viewpoint for her to understand that almost.
Perhaps she has an older classmate who might have been a senior who's in college now, who that she respects and they spend time and they can be a guide for her in terms of, you know, you can say, you can challenge her. You say, you go ask so and so. You say, how much is this really necessary? Okay. The thing is, if they overlap, if she's not getting, you know, it's hard to say. But I think we sometimes need to just say no. Sometimes we just need to say no. And I don't know if that's easier or harder. It sounds like she's very driven. And my kids know that what I say, mommy needs a break, they understand that. They know that, it's sometimes even just me. I can't handle the schedule. We need to take a semester off from doing this, so we're just doing it. And yes, they may not know what to do with themselves with that free time all of a sudden they have in their hands, okay? But don't let them fill it up with computer or something. Go do something else, when I say go do something else, do something as a family or, you know, make that your dinner night, you go out together or something to do as a family. I think sometimes their kids get so scheduled that they're afraid of that downtime. They're afraid, what am I going to do if I'm at home? Oh my gosh, I have to face mom and dad. We're going to sit at the table together. you sometimes have to bring it back to the basics of just, and let her know that it's okay to spend time with me. You know, it's okay. I can be a fun person. So we do that. You know, kids bowl free. If you don't know about it, kidsbowlfree.com. Go on there. If there's a bowling alley near you that it subscribes to that program, the kids bowl free all summer. 2 free games. The parents all summer for $25. My husband and I, we can all bowl as a whole family for $25 for the entire summer. You know, do something out of the ordinary. Do something that's just, you know, go get a pedicure with your daughter or something. I mean, just do something with them, okay, that encourages that time together. Because, like I said, I'm not even looking forward to the day my son goes off to college, although he thinks he wants to go to Stanford and live in our shed, but... I said, if he lives anywhere nearby, he's going to stay in the dormitory. He's got to learn to do his own laundry and all that stuff. But yeah, it's just really, that's a hard one. And then pray, okay? So you always have to pray that your kids, you know, you're making good decisions, and you just pray that they're going to be making good decisions. And I'm very thankful because I know my in-laws pray, you know, endlessly for my kids. And so I know that, you know, they're covered in prayer. And if you have someone else outside your family, you can ask, you know, just to be in prayer for your kids. It is the most comforting thing you can ever imagine. So I'd encourage that to you.
So since you spend a lot of time to take care of the kids, and do you have some time to be together? Do you think it's necessary to be together for a period of time for each team?
For
husband and wife.
Oh, a husband and wife?
Oh, yes.
We don't make as much time as I think we could have. We could, you know. Yeah. We probably could do more time together. Well, now that our son is older, he can watch the two other girls, and so we feel more free to be able to go out. But I think before then, I think like any Asian parent, you know, the kids are focused for the longest time. So.
I have a question about the scheduling. You talk about class and after class go to different activities.
Mm-hmm.
What about community service that have signed up for something?
I think that might be a high school requirement actually to do community service. Yeah, so we haven't signed him up yet because I think we're still in the process of trying to figure out what exactly would be a sort of a worthwhile community service project for him to do. But yeah, that's sort of still in the works because we want
to
make a good choice there.
Something by now. I think part of it is moving into the new area. And then not knowing
the options
well enough and being busy, which is not always a good excuse when it comes to doing community service for other people. But yes, that's on my list to do things.
And that, you know, that actually for some of the church, you know, like Wildlife and other church groups, that's actually part of what they do as well. So I'm hoping that by the time we get to him having to do the high school one, that he will have done a couple of community service things through the church, so he's comfortable already doing that kind of activity. Yeah.
How do you encourage siblings and parents?
Well, the boys and the girls have a hard time playing together. I don't think we ever figured that one out. So you could talk about we could talk about this little one.
Well, I would say I count as fortunate in the sense that my son is actually pretty good with both his sisters, and they get along very well. He's actually probably the peacemaker between the two of them. So I count my blessings on that. And once again, it's a different situation in the sense that when we moved there, they only had each other. They didn't know anyone else. So they were forced to play with each other. They were forced to do things together, right? So I'm not sure how I can answer that. I mean, we always say you need to respect your sister and brother because they're family, okay? And you, as someone else had pointed out, you will be fighting with everyone else in the world, so you don't need to fight with your siblings, okay? One area you shouldn't have to fight with. But I think that I always make sure if they have a friend over that they need to include their siblings. They can't just say, go away. It's not, they're your family, okay? And if they're in your house on a play date, they need to include everyone that's in your house. So you just need to set rules, and then, and obviously, I sometimes pull my younger one away and do something special with her so that she has time with her friend that she has over for a play date. But then if her sister joins her later, they need to include her. So you say, you got to find something that's a happy medium. Not everyone's going to be happy, but to encourage them to be kind to each other, I think it's important. Is that, I'm not sure if that's answering your question or not, but...
How about like discipline? If you discipline younger one, for the older kids, want to get involved in, so they want to care, yeah, for the older kids. One, then it's, they were within... I mean, we want to encourage a younger one to be back older one. So, but older ones want to control
one, so you really... They want to discipline the little ones. Yeah.
Oh, but you say that's not your job. It's not your job to be... I'm the mommy. I get to tell them that they've done something wrong. You don't. You're just the sister. Or you're just the brother. Because that's our role as parents, okay? So if they do something wrong, I say, if Emma did something wrong and you told her to stop it and she doesn't listen, then you come to me. Because I'm the bad guy, then I will go and tell her to stop it, right? So they shouldn't take the role of parents. They shouldn't take the role of disciplining their siblings, okay? They want to keep them safe, okay? So tattling versus keeping them safe, telling, you know, getting them in trouble. Are they tattling to get them in trouble? Or are they tattling to keep them safe? So that's the difference, okay? So if they come to you and say, so-and-so is drawing on the wall, okay? They're tattling because they want to get them in trouble, but of course, they're also drawing on the wall. They shouldn't be doing that either, right? But so-and-so is running into the street to get the ball, and I told her not to. They're tattling because it's not safe. So then you need to intervene, and you say, I'll take care of that, right? But I also, you know, I hear them, and, you know, they our house is not very big, which... is good because then I can hear everything in the house. You know, there's nothing that goes on that I can't hear. And even if they're whispering, I know that they're whispering, and that means they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing. So then I go to the doorway and I listen to see what they're doing. But, you know, I can hear, and if I feel like they're stepping in the role of what mommy needs to do, then I say, okay, I'm the mommy, you're the sister, I'll take it from here. So they need to have that respect. You want them to watch each other, and you want them to obey, right? So if we go out and Curtis is in charge, I say, well, Curtis is in charge, so he's like mommy and daddy right now. So if he tells you to stop, you need to listen. And if you don't stop and we hear about it, you'll get disciplined, right? So, you know, but don't let them take that role from you.
I have a pre-teenage boy. He is 6th grade now, but, you know, we realize he talks back more and more and rebelling, you know, and always say the words like, hey, da-da-da, some stuff, right? So when we try to tell him to do something, he talks back, then, you know, because we are working full-time, you know, very tired of the work, commute, and stuff, so we got lots of short temper, and we sometimes yell and yell back, you know. It's very hard and very... very, you know, depressed. And how you solve, you know, this kind of, maybe your kid's not, but I think it's, you know, pretty common nowadays. The kids, you know, learn how to talk back, always, you know, has thousands of different excuses when you try to tell them do the certain things. He will give you thousands of excuses, you know, what the other kids do, why I should do, like, you know. And for example, I sent him to learn violin or something, and he say, I don't want to do anything. That's your choice. You forced me to do. You know, how about the other American kids? They don't use. They just relax and play. That's very hard. I don't know how to interfere with the kids like the situation like this, and, you know, be self-motivated. I don't see any, you know, self-motivation from himself. most part just parents force them and, you know, to do the thing. So the situation is very tough and a lot of conflicts, arguments, you know, fights. It's not healthy, I know, but, you know, how to solve it.
I think it goes back to those three questions. One is, why is he doing the activity? Okay, is it because you want him to do the activity?
But he didn't show any interest in anything except the computer games, you know.
Okay.
You know, he's crazy about computer games, but I can't let him play computer games.
Sure. Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
But he didn't show any
interest
know,
in anything
interest
else.
In anything. So. It's very challenging.
Yes.
Well, I think in terms of the behavior, though, I think, you know, what sort of intervention can you make in terms of his talking back and sort of coming up with excuses? We haven't had that much of a problem with that. We have had some problems with the language that the kids learn from their friends and some of the phrases they use. And we've just told them, you will not say that. Yeah, you will not say that in this house. Okay, that is not an acceptable thing to say. Okay, because, you know, it doesn't show respect to, you know, mom or dad or your sibling. In terms of motivation, that's a much harder nut to crack. Because you have to get inside his head and you have to figure out, well, everybody's motivated by something. Okay, so but you have to figure out what is it that does motivate him, and you have to work on that. And our middle one, it's you know, I keep harping on her to, you know, tie her shoelaces and to comb her hair and brush her teeth, because she doesn't do that.
Clean her room.
Okay, and she won't clean her room, but she likes money. So we figured out what she really likes. So we control what she gets.
Yeah. I would say. So the other thing is the way they respond to you. So when we first moved out to California, we did live in a rental that had cable. Okay, boy, were my kids in heaven. Okay, we didn't have control. We could say just turn off the TV, right? But we had a house that had cable, and they were watching shows. And they were picking up the language. They were picking up the attitude. They were, you know, the way that the kids talk back to the parents, or the way the kids talk to each other, or give the hand, or give them the, you know, some gestures or things, you know. And that was just coming into my kids' lives. And I could see it, that what was coming in was coming right back out to each other and to us, that I basically said, you can't watch the show anymore. I said, I don't like what I see. I don't like what I'm seeing and what you're doing. Okay? So part of the way that he might respond is, you know, what he's viewing or what he's seeing, you know, I would monitor that and you know, the way he's angry. I admire you all that are working and trying to parent your kids, because I know you're tired, and the kids are also tired at the end of the day. So no one's in a happy mood. And if that means to do a timeout for yourself, you know, I mean, even though I'm not working, you know, I'm tired at the end of the day, and I can lose my temper too. And sometimes I have to remove myself and go into my bedroom and just take a moment, okay? Because then you end up saying things, or you just end up yelling the entire time, and no one feels good, okay? And but I also explain to my kids, I'm your parent, okay? And you cannot talk to me that way. And until you're ready to speak to me in a manner that is respectful and calm and without attitude, I will talk to you, okay? So sometimes you have to come to the point where, because I'm sure you had many more evenings, I seem to for you to express that, you know, you regret, okay? Then also you have to have the time of reconciliation. Even if you had time and you're banging like this and this and this and everyone goes away angry, I know that for myself, and that I won't feel better unless I go back and I say, you know, mommy was angry. These are the reasons why mommy was angry. And these are the things I'd like to see change. But I'm sorry, you know, for yelling. or sorry for losing my temper. Because you can't feel good about beating on the kids, okay? And so when we do it, they just see it being just, you know, through your action, they just repeat the action. So they're just repeating the action to you. So as they're learning it, they're just giving it back. So it's hard, and I don't think my kids even recognize that I give myself a timeout when I go into my room. They just think mommy disappeared, right? But for yourself, sometimes you just have to do that. And pick your battles. When you're just tired, maybe violin isn't it. You know, you might want to pick your, if that's not a battle worth fighting over, then you might have to find something else. And computers, I don't know. If he does it and you can find a class or a course that would help channel his interest and his gift, okay, that's great. And then you say, well, you've had, once again, set up guidelines. You've had this much time on the computer. Go and bounce a ball outside. You know, go play some basketball or go find a friend and run around the block or something. That physical time also helps, too. I mean, it helps release. I mean, you can go through all this, you know, physical science stuff, you know, about being physically active and,
We have limited time for him to play the computer, but his mind, you know, even with stuff, like 30 minutes, he only can play. But after 30 minutes,
his mind goes there.
He doesn't focus what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Now we don't have cable at home because right now he got a tablet
listening
to the couch and watching. So you're
right on top of it then.
Yeah, but we cannot control his mind. His mind is
stuck
there.
So maybe I don't know, find a class or something, because he might be. I mean, he just might be gifted in that area and just needs an outlet. He just might need an outlet for it.
But I think the kids grow.
They're always up here that they get a rebellion and then go. Yes. They all go through a certain period. Yes. Not like that. Anyway. 有没有别的问题或者你的经验要跟大家来一起来分享有没有？很好，谢谢各位。很抱歉，如果是你们要跟他谈的话，可以再谈，没有关系，好吧？我们谢谢各位。
We have one song of $2. So we have the same exact order. And she stayed home, so we have to move. Oh, okay. But my son is working in college. We lived in California before. We just moved last year.
Last year,
San Diego.
Yeah.
So my son is